In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word of God, which will be the focus of our devotion this morning, comes through the Apostle Paul, reading Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us so that, having denied ungodliness and worldly desires, we live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age, as we wait for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself in our place to redeem us from every form of lawlessness and purify to himself his own people, zealous for good works. Welcome, everyone, to our campus and to the start of a new school year. I hope your travel here was safe. For those leaving today, may the Lord grant you also a safe return home. For those staying put, may the Lord grant us a safe school year. What I just said is more than a wish. It counts as a prayer, a brief prayer that you may have said at one time or another on your own. We probably don't talk about it in any kind of regular way, but safety is a concern we have. Parents are concerned about the safety of their teenage children as they drive on their own or do other legitimate activities that could have an element of danger involved nonetheless. Schools like this one have a host of concerns about the safety of students, and naturally the government would too, and does at various levels. It goes with the territory. With authority comes responsibility. The people in charge have a moral obligation to keep their children, their students, their citizens safe from harm as best they can. Therefore, at ILC, as mandated by state law, we have, and the students know all about this, fire drills, tornado drills, even safety drills this year. Now, there are things behind the scenes that go into those drills. You have to figure out a procedure, write it down, give people an orientation of what to do, make sure the buildings are up to a certain safety code, and you drill. If ever, though, an actual threat or danger would occur, I think the first move would be dial 911 and also pray. We turn to the emergency services as soon as possible, police, fire department, EMTs, while also calling upon our God for his mercy and intervention. It goes without saying that you want this school to be safe, and so do we. In fact, Emmanuel's existence as a Christian school has personal safety as a primary objective. And I am referring here to spiritual safety. Eternal life as the final outcome for all of us, whether you attend Emmanuel or not. So today, with the help of our text, let's review God's safety plan of grace with a focus on its use here at Emmanuel. God's safety plan of grace starts with a rescue operation already done. In the words of Titus 2, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. We call that saving grace, and it's tied up, bound up in Jesus Christ, who gave himself in our place to to redeem us from every form of lawlessness and purify to himself his own people, zealous for good works. Our spiritual safety now, let's realize, required a radical rescue in the past. We all entered this world lost and condemned by nature, trapped in our sin, chained to death and hell, with no emergency exit to climb our way out. In fact, we were dead in the spiritual sense. A real tragedy with worldwide devastation. But better than the fireman busting down the door or the EMT administering CPR or that defibrillator thing, we had Jesus doing something very incredible, an act of heroism unparalleled in the history of the human race. As part of the plan, he took our place under God and kept all the commandments for us. He took all of our sins on himself and removed them from us. He gave his perfect life into death, a powerful death that has paid our debt in full. He did that for everybody, which means that he did that for you. Personalize it, please, for yourself. Jesus bought and cleansed you. Jesus found and claimed you individually. Since that rescue operation on the cross almost 2,000 years ago had a follow-up procedure done, your conversion, the planting of saving faith in your hearts, this too is grace at work. This time we think of the Holy Spirit coming in word and sacrament, causing us to believe in Christ and to receive from him the full forgiveness of all our sins. Think about the rescue of your soul. What a turnaround you had, going from one end of the spectrum to the other. Lost, condemned, trapped, dead, to rescued, found, spiritually alive and safe. The triune God has put you and me in the spiritually safe place right next to him, united with him by faith, as he causes it to be so, that you and I, as James says, receive with meekness the implanted word that is able to save your souls. God's safety plan of grace started with that incredible rescue operation. Call it the biggest favor God would ever do. Summed up in the word grace, his undeserved commitment of love that has latched onto us and won't let go. Your God of grace and mercy is hyper-vigilant now toward your safety. He knows all the dangers around you. He sees all the threats beforehand. He knows the plan of the enemy, Satan, to bully, terrorize, destroy, to kidnap us. So that safety plan has to continue, and does, as something quite active every day. A spiritual safety training, if you will, for you and me, in his word. Here's a human safety plan. A manual of what to do in the event of a human threat on campus. It is incomplete. Very much a work in progress. May we never have to implement it. This safety plan, on the other hand, infinitely better. It is complete, and we need to implement it at all times. The plan goes like this. The grace of God has appeared, training us so that having denied ungodliness and worldly desires, we live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. The spiritual threats that we face are more than a possibility. They are real. They are constant. They are stealthy. Propelled by technology, they come in over the airwaves through network cabling. They come at us through people that we know, even friends. They gain access to the heart and mind because your sinful nature and mine work for the other side, unlocking the door and letting in the threat. So part of our safekeeping, therefore, does involve a healthy realization that even as believers, we all have a capacity, a potential to wander away from safety into danger. But thanks be to God, He is on the alert. He sounds His alarm in the Word. He says, say no and renounce ungodliness in all its forms. I can't go through them all right now, but I'll mention a few. Materialism, self-centeredness, evolution, anything, any worldview, any habit that has the effect of denying God's existence or His authority. Say no, God says, and renounce all the desires of the flesh, which the world has embraced with reckless abandon. Your spiritual safety is at issue here. It is not safe, therefore, to let a sinful desire take over and control what you think about and do. It is not safe spiritually to browse the internet in search of inappropriate content. It is not safe, for that matter, to be here in chapel, converse with your friend, or fixate on your cell phone while the Word of God is being preached. It is not safe for any of us to dismiss any of our sins as no big deal, or to use God's forgiveness as an excuse to do what we please. Now, don't get me wrong. We will all need to use God's forgiveness as the way back to safety. In our daily struggle against ungodliness and worldly desires, we inevitably fail. We give in, we give up, but God pulls us back. God pulls us out through the emergency door of repentance. In repentance, we are turned passive. Turned from spiritual danger because God is working it in the hearts so that we know we were wrong, we confess our guilt to Him, we claim to the forgiveness He holds out in His grace. That's a daily thing. Daily repentance is such a big part of your spiritual safety training and procedure, combined with a study of the Inspired Safety Manual and even 911 calls to God, your prayers for His help. God's safety plan of grace, by the way, is not only at work here, it's at work in your church, your Christian day school, your Christian home, wherever God's word of grace has a captive audience. Truly, we're in a battle together as we support each other, pray for each other, instruct, admonish, comfort one another. This spiritual safety training, it's a group effort. Parents and children at home, pastor and members in the congregation, teachers and students at school. But regardless of the arrangement or the location, we count on, don't we, the same grace to work. We battle the same enemy and struggle against sin the same way, with the same urgency, but also we expect the same recovery through the gospel and the same glorious end. Paul writes, describing it, as we wait for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In an actual emergency, let's say a tornado warning, we would go to a designated safe place and stay put until the all clear tells us danger not present, crisis over. From a spiritual standpoint, however, we're in code blue situation, critical, high alert mode all the time, because the devil does not back off. Not until Jesus returns with the greatest all clear you're ever going to hear. On that day, it's over. The dangers, both physical and spiritual. On that day, this struggle we have, you and I, with our sinful nature, that will be done, because part of our hope is you and me receiving a perfected nature. And so words like trouble, death, danger, temptation won't even be in our vocabulary anymore. On that day, God's safety plan of grace will end with a grand reunion. The glorious Christ with His perfected people forever. Call it Emmanuel in the ultimate sense. God with us in person. God with us in absolute perfection. Until then, the Lord's plan to keep you safe is working. Here and everywhere else where that word of grace, His gospel of life, is sounding forth, taking root, rescuing, reviving, renewing. On that we depend as Christians. With that in place, we do our work as teachers and staff, as parents, pastors, students, and employees, yes, as Christian disciples, or as Paul puts it, His own people, zealous of good works. That's in the plan too. May the Lord bless us all with His safekeeping from here in this life to there in that glorious life to come. Amen. We now sing the four stanzas printed at the bottom of the hymn sheet. us pray. O God of peace, you have brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. We come before your throne in behalf of the faculty, staff, and students of Emmanuel. By your grace, you have allowed us to establish this school as a training ground for pastors and teachers of your flock, whom your Son redeemed through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It is your will that men and women be trained to lead the sheep and lambs, which you have brought into your fold. Therefore, we commit into your gracious care our high school, college, and seminary. Give to our instructors a double portion of your Holy Spirit. Grant unto us that true humility, which brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and his word. Let all instruction and training constantly be governed by the fear of the Lord and the truth of your word. Give to all the students the willingness to receive your word and the diligence to apply themselves to their studies with a prayerful mind. By your Holy Spirit, equip them completely for all good works, so that they may be prepared to take their places as leaders, teachers, and pastors of your flock. Grant unto our staff a love for your sheep and for their work of service to you. Help them to work together in peace and harmony. Look graciously upon their efforts and bless their labors, so that your name may be glorified by all who benefit. Lord God, these are the last days, days of great distress on earth. We are in dire need of missionaries to gather lost sheep into the fold. We are in need of shepherds for the flock. We are in need of wise and zealous laymen to hold up the hands of the shepherds. Lord, move the hearts of your youth that they may desire the office of the ministry, and bring them to us so that we may fulfill the work you have called us to do. Grant unto our parents peace of mind in the knowledge that their children are under your watchful eye and are being instructed in your way of truth. Bless our church body. Give to pastors, teachers, and laymen a steadfast faithfulness to your word and a love for all sinners. Let your word in their mouths be the power unto salvation to all who hear. Bless also our brethren in foreign lands. Let them see the bounties of your holiness and grace. Let the church flourish and grow in their midst, so that the heathen may come and find rest in your revealed grace. Bless the leaders of our nation, our president and Congress, our governors and state assemblies, and all others whom you have appointed for the establishment of peace and order in our land, so that we may carry out your work without fear in all godliness. Richly bless the school year, O Lord, for Jesus' sake, in whose name we also pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. That concludes our worship today. There could be announcements. I'm going to say right now, though, that if there's a math test going on, that should start at 10:30 or really soon after. But fourth hour would begin otherwise at 10:35.
Excuse me, athletes. Remember that if you have not handed in those four